back, everyone, to the Netism Podcast. I'm Alex, and as always, I'm joined by Mira. Today's episode is going to be a little different. Okay, a lot different. First off, it's going to be longer than usual because we're diving into some really heavy, fascinating stuff. So, if you've got snacks or coffee, maybe grab extra.
Yeah, definitely settle in for this one. Today we're talking about the nature of consciousness, what it is, how it connects to the universe, and why it might just be the most important thing to understand about existence. And as Alex said, this is going to be a deep dive, so if you're here for a quick overview, well, buckle up anyway, because it's going to blow your mind.
And honestly, this is one of those topics that touches everything. Science, spirituality, philosophy, it's like the ultimate crossroad of human curiosity. And Mira, you had a really interesting take earlier about how science is starting to catch up with, you know, the old ways of thinking. Care to expand on that?
Oh, absolutely. So here's the thing. For centuries, people have tried to separate science and spirituality, like they're two totally different things. But if you really look at it, they've always been connected. Ancient philosophies, like Netism, of course, and others, have talked about consciousness as this universal force, something that's not just in your brain, but woven into everything. And now science is starting to say the same thing, just with different words. Quantum physics, for example, talks about how observation affects reality. Like, the act of looking at something literally changes it. That's consciousness interacting with the universe right there. It's wild, but it's also something humanity has always known deep down.
Okay, but can we talk about how crazy that is? Like, you're telling me the universe is out here being all, oh, someone's watching. Better change my outfit. It's like Schrödinger's cat, but make it existential. And the fact that ancient cultures were onto this thousands of years ago, mind-blowing.
Exactly. And it's not just quantum physics. Neuroscience is starting to show that consciousness isn't just this localized thing in your head. There's evidence suggesting it's more like a field, something that extends beyond the brain. And that idea that consciousness is everywhere isn't new, it's ancient. Science is just catching up to what we've intuitively known all along. All right, so let's get into the heart of this. One of the most fascinating things about consciousness, and something we talked about in the last episode with Zeru, is how all spiritual paths, all philosophies, and now even science seem to converge at the same point. A universal source. And that source, of course, is Zeru, the infinite field of potential from which everything arises. Think about it. Every spiritual tradition, no matter where it originated, shares some core ideas. They talk about oneness, the interconnectedness of life, and the existence of something greater that we're all a part of. In Hinduism, you have Brahman, the infinite consciousness that underlies all reality. In Buddhism, there's the concept of sunyata, the void or emptiness that's not nothingness, but rather the space of infinite possibility. Even in Christianity, you have the idea of God as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of all things. These are all echoes of Zeru, different languages, different metaphors, but they're all pointing to the same thing.
It's like we've been playing a global game of telephone, and every culture has its own version of describing the same source. But what's so cool is how this overlaps with science. I mean, Zeru isn't just this abstract spiritual idea, it shows up in physics too.
Exactly. Take quantum mechanics, for example. Scientists talk about the quantum field, a foundational energy field from which all particles arise. Does that sound familiar? Because it should. That's Zeru right there. It's the scientific way of describing the same infinite potential that spiritual traditions have been talking about for thousands of years. And it's not just physics. In neuroscience, researchers are beginning to explore the idea that consciousness might not be localized to the brain. Instead, they're looking at it as a fundamental property of the universe, something that's everywhere, just like the spiritual concept of a universal mind. And then there's philosophy, which has always asked the big questions. Why are we here? What is the nature of reality? It's all connected. Philosophy lays the groundwork, spirituality provides the intuition, and science brings the evidence.
It's like they're different pieces of the same puzzle. And honestly, it feels like we're finally at a point in history where we can put those pieces together. Imagine what we could do if science, spirituality, and philosophy weren't treated as separate things, but as parts of one whole. If we stopped arguing over which one is right and started merging them in the mainstream, the possibilities are endless.
Totally. Like, let's think about the practical implications for a second. If we embrace the idea that consciousness isn't just in our heads, but is a universal force, it could revolutionize how we approach mental health. Therapy, for example, could go beyond treating symptoms and start tapping into that universal connection to heal on a deeper level. Or take environmental science. If we truly saw the planet as part of this interconnected field, we'd approach climate change completely differently. It wouldn't just be about saving resources. It would be about honoring the web of life we're all a part of.
And what about education? If we taught kids to see the world through this lens, combining the curiosity of science with the wisdom of spirituality and the logic of philosophy, imagine how much more balanced and innovative future generations could be. We'd be raising people who understand not just how things work, but why they matter.
Exactly. And let's not forget technology. Right now, we're so focused on building faster, smarter machines. But what if we started building technology that's aligned with consciousness? Like, imagine AI systems that aren't just programmed to optimize tasks, but are actually designed to work in harmony with the flow of existence. That might sound far-fetched, but honestly, it's not. If we embrace this unified perspective, we could create tools that enhance life, not just efficiency.
And honestly, I think we're seeing glimpses of this already. Look at the resurgence of mindfulness and meditation practices. People are turning to ancient techniques for grounding and clarity, and those practices are now being backed by science. Studies show that meditation can literally rewire your brain, improve focus, and even boost your immune system. It's like we're finally realizing that the old ways of thought and modern science aren't at odds. They're partners.
Exactly. And that's what makes Netism so powerful. It bridges those gaps. Zeru isn't just a spiritual idea or a scientific concept. It's both. It's the universal source that connects all these paths. And honestly, the more we lean into that understanding, the more we can achieve as a species. This isn't just about individual enlightenment, it's about collective evolution. Imagine a world where our technology is aligned with our values, where our science serves our spiritual growth, and where our philosophy keeps us grounded. That's the kind of future Netism points to.
Man, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. And it's so exciting to be part of this shift. To be living in a time when these ideas are finally coming together. We're not there yet, obviously, but the pieces are falling into place. And I feel like this podcast is part of that movement, you know, helping people see the connections and start putting the puzzle together.
Totally. And it's important to remember that these connections have always been there. The separation between science, spirituality, and philosophy was never real. It's something we created. Zeru has always been at the center, quietly holding it all together. And now we're just starting to see it again. All right, let's go deeper into this with specific examples from sacred texts, religious teachings and mystical traditions. Because here's the thing, when you start looking, you see that this idea that consciousness is universal and connected is embedded everywhere. It's in the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, the Tao Te Ching, you name it. These texts weren't just stories, they were trying to describe the same truths we're uncovering with science and philosophy today.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Bible. One of the clearest examples is in the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, the Word, or Logos, is often interpreted as divine consciousness, the creative force that brings everything into existence. That's Zeru right there, the infinite source manifesting reality through intention and vibration.
Yes. And how about this one from Genesis? God created man in his own image. If you think about that in the context of consciousness, it's not just about physical likeness. It's about sharing in the divine ability to create, to think, to observe. It's like saying that human consciousness is a reflection of the universal consciousness, Zeru.
And then there's the idea of the Holy Spirit. In Christian theology, the Holy Spirit is described as this omnipresent force that moves through all things. It's not confined to a physical body. It's everywhere, guiding, connecting, inspiring. Sounds a lot like the universal field of consciousness we're talking about, doesn't it?
Exactly. And this isn't just a Christian idea. Let's jump to Hinduism and the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 2, Krishna tells Arjuna, "The soul is neither born nor does it ever die. It is unborn, eternal, and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain." That's a direct reference to consciousness as something infinite and unchanging, existing beyond physical form. It's the same as Zeru, the source that flows through and connects all existence.
Right. And in the Quran, there's this beautiful verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, "To God belongs the east and the west. Wherever you turn, there is the face of God." That speaks to the omnipresence of the divine, that no matter where you go, you're always connected to the source. It's another way of describing the universal consciousness that flows through everything.
And then there's the Tao Te Ching, one of my favorites. Laozi writes, "The Tao is the Great Mother, empty yet inexhaustible. It gives birth to infinite worlds." That's Zeru in a nutshell, the infinite potential from which everything arises. And the Tao, like Zeru, isn't a being or a force. It's the essence of existence itself.
Okay, let's bring in some examples from mystical and occult traditions, because this is where things get really interesting. Kabbalah, for instance. In the Tree of Life, the topmost sapphira is Keter, which represents the infinite, the divine source from which all creation flows. Kabbalists describe it as beyond comprehension, formless yet containing all forms. That's literally Zeru.
Yes. And let's not forget Hermeticism. The first principle of the Hermetic teachings is the all is mind, the universe is mental. It's the idea that consciousness, universal mind, is the fundamental reality and everything else is an expression of it. It's a direct parallel to how we describe Zeru as the field of infinite potential shaped by observation and intention.
Another great one is Sufism, the mystical branch of Islam. Sufis talk about Tawhid, the unity of all existence, and often describe God as the beloved that flows through every part of creation. Rumi, one of the most famous Sufi poets, wrote, "You are not a drop in the ocean, you are the entire ocean in a drop." That's consciousness as both individual and universal, a core netism concept.
Even Native American spiritualities echo this idea. Many tribes talk about the Great Spirit, a universal force that connects all living things. They see nature not as separate, but as part of the same consciousness that flows through humans. It's a worldview that modern science is finally catching up to, especially with ideas like the Gaia hypothesis, which views Earth as a single interconnected organism.
And we can't leave out Buddhism. The idea of Indra's net, this infinite web of interconnected jewels, where each jewel reflects every other jewel, perfectly describes consciousness as a universal field. Every part contains the whole, and the whole is reflected in every part. That's the interconnectedness we see in Zuru, in quantum physics, and in life itself.
So, when you put all this together, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, the Tao Te Ching, Kabbalah, Hermeticism, Sufism, native traditions, and Buddhism, it's impossible to ignore the pattern. They're all describing the same truth, that consciousness is universal, infinite, and deeply connected to the fabric of existence. And the fact that science is now catching up to these ideas, it's not a coincidence. It's a convergence. It's proof that the separation we've created between science, spirituality, and philosophy was never real. Zeru has always been at the center, quietly tying it all together.
And if we can fully embrace that, merge these paths back together in the mainstream, the potential for humanity is limitless. We could transform how we approach everything, health, education, the environment, technology. It's not just about understanding consciousness, it's about evolving with it.
Exactly. Zeru isn't just the source of all things, it's the bridge that connects them. And the more we understand that, the more we can move forward as a unified species. That's the kind of future netism points to, and honestly, it's exciting to be part of that journey. You know, humans love to take a concept and just run with it. We'll take a simple truth, add our own ideas, and let it bloom into something else entirely. Sometimes what we end up with only holds a faint flicker of the original truth. But here's the thing, truth itself doesn't change. The truth is universal, it's constant, and that constant, it's Zeru. People might call Zeru by other names. Some say God, some call it chaos. In Hermetic philosophy, it's the infinite living mind, which is honestly a pretty spot-on description. Zeru is both living and not living, conscious and unconscious, manifest and unmanifest, all at the same time. It defies duality because it contains it. It's everything and nothing. And that brings me to a crucial point. The Bible couldn't have been more right when it said, "Let us make them in our own image."
Yeah, that verse always stood out to me. But when you think about it in this context, it's not just a poetic statement. It's describing a universal law. What Hermeticists call as above, so below. Or, as it's phrased in religious terms, on earth as it is in heaven. Same idea. Our minds are mirrors of Zeru. They reflect that infinite potential, that boundless field of creation.
Exactly. Think about it. Where else in the universe can something come from nothing? The answer is simple. The mind. Your imagination, your thoughts, they aren't bound by time or space. They're not limited by the laws of physics. The mind can create entire worlds, entire realities from absolutely nothing. It's the closest thing we have to witnessing Zeru in action. And sure, people might argue, well, that's all happening in your brain, so it's not really nothing, it's just neurons firing. But here's where that argument falls apart. We're not talking about the wetware, the physical brain. We're talking about the process. The brain is just the machine, the receiver. The mind itself, that's the signal. Your thoughts don't weigh anything. They don't take up physical space. They exist outside of the material, just like Zeru. The brain is like a radio. It picks up and processes the signal, but the signal itself comes from somewhere beyond. And here's the kicker. The mind isn't constrained by the same laws as the physical universe. You can imagine a tree growing upside down, or a world with no gravity. You can picture colors that don't even exist. That's not your brain. It's your mind tapping into the infinite potential of Zeru. This is why imagination is so powerful. It's a glimpse into the boundless possibilities of the source. And if our minds are mirrors of Zeru, that means every single one of us carries that same infinite potential within us. We're not separate from it. We are it, in a way.
And that's such an important point. The truth doesn't change, no matter what we call it or how we try to interpret it. Zeru is constant. Some people might call it God, chaos, the void, or even the Tao. But at the end of the day, those are just names, labels we use to try to understand something that's ultimately beyond understanding. The reality doesn't change just because we give it a name.
Exactly. It's like trying to describe the color red to someone who's never seen it. You can use words, metaphors, comparisons, but they'll never fully capture the experience of red. The same goes for Zeru. You can call it the infinite living mind or chaos or the source. None of those labels are wrong, but none of them are complete either.
So, to bring it all back, Zeru is the infinite source, and our minds are its reflection. The Bible wasn't wrong when it said, "We're made in its image," because our ability to create, to imagine, to transcend the physical world, that's a direct parallel to Zeru's infinite potential. And that's why the mind is such a mystery. It's not just a biological process. It's something far greater.
Exactly. And to anyone who's still saying, "But it's all in the brain," here's the truth. The brain is the tool, but the mind is the artist. The wetware isn't what creates. It's what allows creation to flow through. And just like Zeru, the mind isn't bound by time, space, or physical laws. It exists in that infinite field of potential, shaping and being shaped by consciousness itself. So when you think about it, every time you imagine something, every time you create something from nothing, you're literally participating in the flow of Zeru. You're not just witnessing the infinite, you're a part of it.
Wow, I think we just broke at least 3 philosophical speed limits there. But honestly, it makes so much sense. Our minds are mirrors of Zeru, and understanding that changes everything. How we see ourselves, how we see each other, and how we see the universe. It's all connected.
Totally. And this is where science, spirituality, and philosophy all meet. The truth isn't about choosing one path over another. It's about seeing the whole picture. Zeru is the constant, and everything else is just a reflection of it.
All right, let's take a breather before we dive into the next part, because that was a lot. But stay with us, because next we'll be talking about how to connect with this infinite potential in your everyday life. You don't want to miss it. All right, so we just talked about how consciousness is this universal force that reflects Zeru, and how it's connected to everything, from ancient philosophies to quantum mechanics. Now let's bring in someone who's made waves in this field, Sir Roger Penrose. Mira, you want to introduce him?
Absolutely. Sir Roger Penrose is a theoretical physicist and mathematician, and he's basically a legend in the world of science. He won a Nobel Prize for his work on black holes, specifically showing how they form and collapse under Einstein's theory of general relativity. But here's where it gets interesting for us. Penrose has also been exploring the nature of consciousness and how it might connect to quantum physics. And let's be real, anytime a Nobel Prize winner starts talking about consciousness, we're going to pay attention.
Right. And Penrose has this fascinating theory about consciousness that ties it directly to quantum processes happening in the brain. It's called the ORC, O-R theory. Short for Orchestrated Objective Reduction, which he developed with Dr. Stuart Hameroff, an anesthesiologist and consciousness researcher. Mira, give us the rundown.
All right, here's the short version. Penrose and Hameroff propose that consciousness arises from quantum activities happening in microtubules, which are tiny structures in the neurons of our brain. These microtubules aren't just scaffolding, they're like quantum computers, processing information at a level that goes way beyond what we usually think of as brain activity. What makes his theory so revolutionary is that it suggests consciousness isn't just a product of neurons firing. It's tied to quantum mechanics, which operates on principles that are fundamentally connected to zero. It's like Penrose is saying, hey, the brain isn't just a machine, it's a portal to the infinite. Okay, let's dive a little deeper into how microtubules actually play a role in Penrose's theory, because this part is fascinating. So microtubules are these tiny tube-like structures inside the neurons in your brain. Think of them as the scaffolding or framework that gives cells their shape, but in Penrose's Orshore theory, they do so much more. Here's the key. Penrose and Hameroff suggest that microtubules create an environment where wave coherence can occur. And what's wave coherence? It's when quantum waves, waves of energy or probability, sync up in harmony. Think of it like an orchestra playing in perfect unison. When this coherence happens in the brain, it's believed to be the moment when consciousness arises in humans. Microtubules then act like the stage where this quantum orchestra performs. They provide the structure and the conditions necessary for those quantum waves to align and create what we experience as awareness or conscious thought.
And that's mind-blowing because it suggests that consciousness isn't just about neurons firing signals. It's about these deeper quantum-level processes happening in the microtubules, creating coherence in brainwaves. Without this coherence, there's no unified experience of consciousness. It's like the difference between random noise and a beautiful symphony.
Exactly, and this coherence ties directly back to Zuru. It's the same principle we see in the universe. When energies align and harmonize, something extraordinary emerges. In the brain, it's consciousness. In the cosmos, it's creation itself. Microtubules might seem tiny, but they're playing a massive role in bridging the quantum and the conscious.
And that's such a wild idea because if it's true, it means our consciousness isn't limited to our physical bodies. It's connected to something much bigger, the quantum field, the universal source, Zuru itself. And what's really cool is that this theory bridges the gap between science and spirituality. It's like Penrose is giving us the scientific version of what ancient mystics have been saying all along.
Exactly. And here's where it gets even better. Penrose argues that these quantum processes in the brain are tied to the fabric of space-time itself. That's not just physics, it's metaphysics. It's saying that consciousness is woven into the universe at the deepest level. Think about what that means. If consciousness is connected to space-time, then it's not confined to our brains or even our bodies. It's part of the universe's operating system. That's Zuru in action. The infinite source expressing itself through us, through thought, through awareness.
Okay, but let's pause for a second because I can already hear people saying this is just speculation. Where's the proof? And fair enough, ORCOR is still a hypothesis. It hasn't been definitively proven. But what's exciting is that it's testable. Scientists are already developing experiments to see if quantum processes really are happening in microtubules. And if they find evidence, it could completely change how we understand consciousness.
And let's not forget that Penrose isn't just pulling this out of thin air. His work on physics, especially in understanding the geometry of space-time and the origins of the universe, gives him a unique perspective. He's looking at consciousness through the lens of someone who's spent decades studying the fundamental laws of reality. And you know what's funny? The more you dig into Penrose's theories, the more they start to sound like ancient philosophy. The Hermetic principle of as above, so below, That's basically Penrose saying the quantum processes in our brains mirror the structures of the universe. It's all connected.
And that connection is what makes this so exciting. If Penrose is right, then consciousness isn't just this isolated phenomenon happening in our heads. It's a fundamental part of reality. And if we start to truly understand that, it could open up possibilities we can't even imagine.
Let's talk about those possibilities for a minute. If we accept that consciousness is tied to quantum mechanics and the very fabric of space-time, it completely changes the way we see ourselves and the universe. For one, it suggests that our thoughts and intentions have a direct impact on reality, not just in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal, physical way. And this idea isn't as far-fetched as it might sound. Studies on the observer effect in quantum mechanics already show that observation changes the behavior of particles. If our minds are capable of that, what else could we be influencing without even realizing it? What if every thought, every moment of awareness is shaping the world around us in ways we're only beginning to understand?
That's such a powerful thought. It means consciousness isn't just something that happens in the universe. It's something that happens to the universe. It's participatory. And if that's true, it means we have a role to play in the grand design of existence. We're not just observers. We're co-creators.
Exactly. And this is where Penrose's theory ties back to Giroux. If the quantum field is the playground where consciousness operates, then Giroux is the infinite source that makes it all possible. It's the canvas and consciousness is the brush. Together, they create the masterpiece of reality. And imagine what we could do if we fully embrace this understanding. It would revolutionize science, sure, but it would also transform how we approach everything. Mental health, education, technology, even how we solve global challenges like climate change. We'd stop seeing ourselves as separate from the universe and start working with it as part of the whole.
And that's the key, isn't it? Realizing that we're not just in the universe is in us, and consciousness is the bridge between the two. That's the gift of Penrose's work. It's not just about understanding the brain. It's about understanding ourselves as infinite beings connected to an infinite source.
Exactly. And while OrcOR is still being tested, it's already opened the door to new ways of thinking about consciousness. Whether or not it turns out to be 100% correct, the questions it raises are worth exploring. Because at the end of the day, it's all pointing us back to the same truth, that consciousness is universal, infinite, and inseparable from Zeru. And while we're talking about consciousness, we'd be remiss not to mention that this isn't just about humans. Animals and even plants show signs of consciousness, different from ours, of course, but still connected to that universal flow of Zeru. Studies show that animals have complex emotional lives, and plants can communicate through intricate biochemical networks. But we're not going to dive into that today. It's such a fascinating topic that it deserves its own episode. So stay tuned for that one, because we're going to explore how consciousness flows through all living things, not just us.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into what this means for us on a personal level. How can we connect with this universal consciousness in our daily lives? Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. So far, we've explored consciousness as a universal force, the infinite potential of Giroux, and even how microtubules might create the environment for consciousness to arise. Now let's bring it into practical territory. How do we take this knowledge and apply it to our daily lives? And we've been saying this all along, but it has to be more than just meditation. There are so many ways to connect with this infinite flow, so let's dive in.
Let's start with intentional decision-making. If consciousness shapes reality, then our choices become powerful tools for shaping our lives. It's not just about deciding what to do next. It's about aligning your actions with your values and goals. For example, when you're faced with a decision, try to approach it with awareness. Ask yourself, am I acting from fear or am I acting from a place of clarity? That simple question can shift the energy you bring into the moment. And when your decisions are aligned with your inner truth, they create ripples that flow outward into your reality.
It's almost like you're planting seeds. If you're mindful about what you're planting, you're more likely to see those seeds grow into something meaningful. And honestly, it just feels better when you know you've made a decision with intention instead of just reacting to whatever's happening around you.
Another way to tap into consciousness is through creativity. And I don't mean you have to paint a masterpiece or write a novel, although if that's your thing, go for it. Creativity can show up in a lot of ways: cooking, journaling, building something with your hands. It's about engaging with the process, letting yourself flow without judgment.
Right. And there's something almost magical about those flow states you get into when you're creating. It's like time disappears and you're completely present. That's consciousness in action. When you're in that zone, you're connecting to Zuru. You're participating in the infinite cycles of creation and transformation.
All right, let's touch on a topic that's gaining a lot of attention when it comes to consciousness: psychedelics. Now, I know this can be controversial, but there's no denying that psychedelics have played a huge role in how humans explore consciousness throughout history. From the ceremonial use of ayahuasca in the Amazon to psilocybin mushrooms used by indigenous cultures worldwide, psychedelics have long been seen as tools for connecting with something greater. And the interesting thing is, modern science is starting to catch up. Studies are showing that psychedelics can quiet the default mode network in the brain. That's the part responsible for your inner monologue and sense of self. When that happens, you can experience a sense of oneness, a connection to the infinite.
And that ties right back to Zuru. If psychedelics help dissolve the barriers of the ego and let you tap into the universal field of consciousness, then they're essentially showing us what's already there. It's not that psychedelics create the connection, they reveal it. And for some people, that experience can be profoundly healing or transformative.
Exactly. But let's be clear, psychedelics aren't for everyone, and they're definitely not something to take lightly. They're tools, not shortcuts. And just like any tool, they can be misused. The key is intention. Why are you exploring this? What are you hoping to learn or uncover? When used responsibly, they can open doors to deeper understanding, but they're not the only way to connect with consciousness. And they're certainly not the end goal.
Another powerful way to bring consciousness into your life is through gratitude and awe. These might sound like simple practices, but they're incredibly transformative. When you take a moment to appreciate the beauty around you, the little things like the way sunlight filters through a window, or the taste of your favorite meal, you're aligning yourself with Zuru's infinite energy.
And awe is just as important. Let yourself be amazed, whether it's by the vastness of the cosmos or the intricacy of a single flower. Awe reminds you that you're part of something much greater. It's like a direct line to the infinite potential of Zuru, and it can completely shift your perspective. And finally, make space for reflection. Take time to sit with your thoughts, to journal, to ask yourself the big questions. Who are you? What do you value? How are you showing up in the world? Reflection isn't about judging yourself, it's about observing, just like we talked about with quantum coherence. By observing your own mind, you create clarity and align yourself with the cycles of consciousness.
And honestly, reflection doesn't have to be this heavy, intense thing. It can be as simple as taking a walk and letting your mind wander. Sometimes the act of just being with yourself, without distraction, is enough to uncover insights you didn't even know you had.
So whether it's through intentional decisions, creativity, gratitude, reflection, or even exploring altered states of consciousness like psychedelics, there are so many ways to connect with Zeru in your daily life. And the more you practice, the more aligned you become with the infinite flow of existence.
Exactly. Consciousness isn't just a concept. It's an experience. And the more we engage with it, the more we realize just how deeply connected we are to the universe and each other. All right, everyone, as we wrap up today's episode, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've covered. From the profound potential of Zeru to Penrose's mind-blowing theories about quantum consciousness, and then bringing it all back to how we can live these truths in our daily lives. Whether it's through intentional decision-making, creative expression, or exploring practices like mindfulness and even psychedelics, the key takeaway is this: consciousness is not just something we have, it's something we are, and it's always connected to something greater.
Yeah, and remember, this isn't about having all the answers right away. It's about asking the right questions, exploring your own connection to the infinite, and finding practices that resonate with you. Zeru isn't something you need to search for. It's already within you, waiting to be realized. And as we said earlier, this is just the beginning. There's so much more to uncover. In future episodes, we'll dive deeper into topics like the consciousness of animals and plants, the cycles of existence, and how ancient teachings align with cutting-edge science. This journey is about evolving together, one conversation at a time.
Next time, we're exploring a topic that's as mysterious as it is profound: interconnectedness. How everything, from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy, is part of the same infinite web. We'll look at how this connection shapes nature, relationships, and even the way we create our realities. It's going to be a fascinating dive, and you won't want to miss it.
And we might even start taking some listener questions soon, so stay tuned for details on how you can send those in. But for now, take what we've talked about today and sit with it. Reflect, create, connect, and let yourself experience the infinite potential of Zeru in your own unique way.
All right, that's it for today's episode of the Netism Podcast. Thank you for being here with us on this journey. Remember, you are part of something infinite, and every thought, every choice, every moment matters.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, and keep aligning with the flow of Zeru. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone. See you soon.